Welcome to the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast with your host, Mike Campion. If you are passionate about the cleaning industry, you are in the right place. Love what you hear? Spread the word and tell the cleaning world this is the place to be. Want more? Check out www.growmycleaningcompany.com for free online video trainings, free ebook downloads, free blog posts, and of course, all the podcast episodes. Everything you need to grow your cleaning company is at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. And now, on with the show.
Welcome to the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast, where I coach owners of cleaning companies every Monday, Wednesday, Friday on anything and everything related to growing and building your cleaning company. If you are that kind of type of person and committed to growing your cleaning company, go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Get everything you need to create the cleaning company you've always dreamed of, always wanted. If you want to be a guest on the show, you can reach out to our producer, Natalie, at nat@growmycleaningcompany.com, or give us a call at 480-648-5149 to apply to be on the show or give us some feedback. We are excited to talk to you. Now, today, we are talking with Travis Robinson from Clean Difference. Clean Difference serves the Seattle area with both residential and commercial cleaning services. They've been around for just a couple years. If you want to reach out to Travis and his team, you get a hold of them at www.cleandifference.biz. That said, Travis, welcome. What is shaking in your world today, my friend?
Man, not a whole lot. A beautiful overcast day in non-sunny Seattle, Washington, and really happy to be on the show, Mike. Thanks so much for having me.
Beautiful. Glad to have you. We're going coast to coast. I'm actually sharpening my skills and tools and at a marketing conference in Jacksonville, calling all the way over to Seattle. So it is kind of cool. In today's day and age, we could be chatting, and we probably got, and I know, I think last check, we have people listening from 40 countries. So awesome. Glad to get going, brother. All right, before we hit the ground and I start blabbing on about this, that, and the other, let's talk about you for a minute, man. How'd you get in the business? Where you at? How many employees? How'd you choose what to serve? You talk, we'll listen.
Yeah, so it totally happened by accident, which I see as a kind of theme with the cleaning industry. I've been in the food and beverage industry for the majority of my life, and one day I noticed that one of the owners of one of the restaurants that I was working at was cleaning the restaurant. And I knew that we had a cleaning company, and so I asked him, I was like, hey, if you guys need any help, I'd be happy to take over it in the morning. And he said that they had actually let go of the cleaning company and that I could take it over. And so I saw the first paycheck kind of come in and started realizing that there might be something there and started poking around and doing some research and started asking some other people in the restaurant industry that I had prior experience with if they needed any cleaning services. And it just kind of spiraled from there. And one customer became two and then three and four. And before I knew it, I had a company on my hands. So that's how we got started.
Beautiful. And that was just 2 years ago. To give us a little overview on where you're at now. How many employees, how many accounts?
Yeah.
Mostly commercial, mostly residential?
So we're about 98% commercial. When we first started the company, it was kind of saying yes to everything and just kind of shotgunning it to kind of really hone into what we really wanted to do. And so we've kind of lasered in a little bit more now and are really focused on just the commercial side of it. We really enjoy the consistency and knowing just kind of what's coming in month to month. We try not to say no to certain things when we have opportunities, because we've said yes to a handful of residential customers that actually end up turning into commercial customers. And so, but our heart's kind of set on the commercial side. Right now, we have four employees. I actually just had to let go of two employees the other day, so we're actually looking to hire some people right now, and we want to try to hire about four more right now and kind of start going from there.
Okay, beautiful. So for a couple of years, that's not bad. Sounds like you're around that 4 to 5 employee, at least on the need side. And I can encourage you that is needing more employees is not unique to you. I coach people on that every day.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, thanks for the upgrade. It's so funny how some people go to school and some people choose this business. Some people kind of fall into it. Some people's parents. So it's just cool how so many different ways to get into our business, and it's such a good business. All right. That said, how can I help you today, my friend?
So I have a whole bunch of things that I'm trying to do with pushing my employees towards creating better service for our clients. And so I guess my question is how to get everybody on board with change.
That is such a good question because, yeah, everything I coach people on is obviously we got to do stuff differently, right? If what you were doing was working perfectly, we wouldn't need to change. So that's a great question. I think all of Cleaning Nation is going to benefit from because at some point or another, if we want to get from here to there, the only thing standing between us is always going to be change. And it can be discouraging, to say the least, when you've got something, you know it's best for the company, you know it's best for the employees, you know it's best for everybody, but it doesn't matter if you're – it doesn't matter what it is. People are just kind of resistant to change. Is that what you're running into?
Exactly, yeah. I get a lot of pushback when people start getting a little too comfortable and we start trying to introduce things. People just kind of start kind of pushing them off, and then we actually start losing people. And so, yeah, definitely a lot of pushback.
Okay, cool. Well, the good thing is there's good pushback and there's bad pushback. So this could actually be something that you can get some kind of unintended benefits from if you handle it right. So first and foremost, we'll take a step back and then we'll kind of move forward to what you can do today. The best way to do this is to make sure that, and I think I know I've touched on this in lots of podcasts, so this is a theme that hopefully if you're a longtime listener, you'll start hearing that theme and go, man, I got to put this in progress in my business. You've got to hire based on core values. So before that, you've got to know what your core values are and be real loud and clear about them. So,
yeah.
And hey, Trav, I think you got some background noise. So since we're recording, if you could make sure whatever's going on in the back isn't going on so Cleaning Nation can hear clearly. So you want to start with being really clear on what your personal core values are. And then the second step is really living those core values, not just in terms of hiring, but everything day to day. So the natural outflow of that is when you run an ad, when you interview somebody, when you qualify somebody and hire them, when you disqualify somebody and choose not to go forward, all that should be based on a really clear set of core values. Now, when you do that, as long as the changes that you're making are consistent with your core values, you're gonna get naturally just from a foundational standpoint a lot less pushback. The unintended positive consequence I mentioned to you earlier is the people that do get pushback, if you really are moving towards your core values, that shows that they're not in line with your core values, and this is a great opportunity to part ways anyway. So that's what I call good pushback, when you are able to lose an employee that you probably shouldn't have had on staff anyway through the process of change. I've got a couple more things, but I want to make sure we're tracking. Any questions or thoughts on that before?
Yeah, no, that's a great point. I definitely think you're right on the head with it. Starts at the beginning with employees and getting on the same page instead of trying to change somebody's mindset later on down the road.
Yeah, and I'm a huge fan of I will hire for attitude and core value match and train for skill every time. I have not found a way to hire for skill set and train for core values. If someone doesn't believe what I believe, I'm sure it's possible. I'm just not the guy to know how to change someone's mind, right? Even if I knew how, it'd probably be too expensive, too time consuming, and more importantly, too much brain damage. So that's the first part. Now, since you're like, well, all good, Mike, I'll start that today, but I've still got my staff I've got, and you're lucky you've only got four, but if there's people 30 or 40, it's like, well, how do I kind of, you know, work forward now? A big thing that I've done is, first of all, I would start with a place. Well, let's just go in order. So the first thing is know your core values, be really loud about your core values, live your core values. That will naturally attract people that agree with your core values and repel people that don't. The next thing is get staff involved with the decision-making process for two reasons. One, 10 brains are almost always going to be better than one. And of course, you're going to be the final decision maker, and that's how it's got to be. So we're by no means hear me saying let the inmates run the asylum. You got to be in charge. But
yeah,
generally, and it's funny, because I always used it, I don't want to say always, but sometimes I'd start as a tactic in terms of, hey, I'm going to ask and kind of get feedback, but I really know where I want to go. I just want to get buy-in. And then I would end up learning some stuff, and I'm like, I would have never gotten that or gotten there. Because guess what? Your staff are the people that are doing hopefully, they should be the people doing the cleaning day in, day out, or performing the service. And they speak with your customers FaceTime a lot more than you do. So a lot of times, you're going to get your absolute best idea. You know where the drive-thru was invented? Was by a McDonald's franchisee by an Air Force base. Where guys, servicemen couldn't, I think they couldn't go outside without taking their cat, they had to have their hat on if they were in uniform, but not in their car. So one franchisee of a McDonald's, you know, the owner of McDonald's franchise built a drive-thru so servicemen could order without having to get out of their car and put their hat on and have certain and then, of course, that went up, and now we all have drive-thrus. So, again, McDonald's could have said, hey, stop it, shut up, sit down, we're not interested, we know everything. Or they could have just made, you know, however many hundreds of millions of dollars from the drive-thru concept.
Yeah, yeah.
So. The first obvious benefit is, you know, 10 brains are better than one. They speak and see and deal with your customers far more frequently than you do, so they're going to have good feedback. The second thing is when they've got a stake in it and it's there to, you know, anything you say is a big fat lie. Anything they say is God's honest truth. So if they come up with the idea, even if you just have that conversation, and I don't want to say lead them, but, you know, you're in charge, the more that they feel that they had a say, and or were part of the decision-making process, far easier to get them on board. Have you had any luck with that, or has it mostly just been, here's what we've decided and get to work?
You know, actually, that is something that I kind of stole from, I forgot his name, slipping my mind right now, but anytime we do the interview process, I always let everybody know that the best idea is always going to win out, that even though I'm the boss signing the checks, that doesn't matter at the end of the day, because we really want to be around people who have an ability to come up with creative ideas and see ways to do things in a different way, smarter way, safer way. So I definitely encourage people to do that, and it's definitely an open door policy with that. So, yeah.
All right. Well, make sure it's that for sure, but also when you're going to make the change. So if you've decided, hey, we're going to implement this system or that system, go to the employees with the problem. Hey, we're having a problem with people showing up on time or customers complaining or whatever. Mm-hmm. Don't tell them, here's the system we're going to do. Say, hey, remember when I hired you, we talked about the best ideas are going to win. Here's where I need your ideas. Here's the problem we're trying to solve. How would you guys solve it? And ideally come to consensus. And 9 times out of 10, you should be able to either get them on board with your ideas, or they should get you on board with their ideas because you share core values. The 1 out of 10 times or 1 out of 20 times, you're going to have to pull rank and go, this is how it's going to be, but it's going to be that way, and here's why, and I understand your feedback. And they're going to go, at least I was heard. At least he cared about me, and he's not ignorant about the things that are important to me. He knows them, and he's still doing the best he can. So that'll help a lot.
Absolutely.
Okay. The next thing is admit that it's going to be trial and error. I think as owners, we get really tempted to kind of pretend or feel like we have to know everything. And that's just a lot of pressure to be like, this is the right thing. This is how it's going to work. This is the best decision. Everybody get on board because you're going to love it. That sets you up for failure because, you know, I don't know if you're like me, but, you know, I don't know, 80% of the stuff I tried failed miserably, and 10% only failed not miserably, and then 10% actually worked. So
yeah.
I stopped trying to say this is the latest, the greatest, the best, you know, this is going to work. And I got to, we are a company that innovates, and the best way to innovate is to fail faster and fail forward. So I'm not saying that this is going to be the last version, but this is version 2.0, and we're moving away from 1.0. And there's probably going to be 3.0 and 6.0, but we can't ever get to version best until we move away from version 1.0. So you set the stage with, we're going to be changing. I want you on board. We're going to flex with your feedback. It's a lot less scary than this is how it's going to be forever, no matter what. As opposed to we're shifting and making things better, and it's constant process. People seem more comfortable with that, and it's more truth, right? It takes the pressure off of you for feeling like I've got to hit everything right all the time, or the people won't trust me or follow me. Make sense?
Makes total sense.
Okay, and I've got one more point, and I'd love to get any feedback that you've got. Let's see. Actually, I think that's really it. So get them involved. Hire for that's those are my big three. I thought I had another one. I don't. Get staff involved. Make sure they go with your core values and come from a place of trial and error and be totally okay with things going wrong and saying, wow, that was a swing and a miss. Tried and whatever. But even with a swing and a miss, you're usually going to learn something, even like, wow, we'll never do that again because. So if that's how you position it as we're trying, we're learning, we're evolving, as opposed to the old way was wrong, the new way is right, this is the best way. You're just setting yourself up for failure when it's not the best way and you have to change it again. You don't want them kind of going, oh, crap, Travis, you know, just read a book or came back from a conference or got coached up by Mike. Here's another roller coaster. You know, that they'll never follow you. It's got to be like, hey, Travis is always out there learning and improving, and I feel I'm excited to be a part of that. So that's a big feedback. Any questions or discussion or any other thoughts before we move on?
No, I think that's perfect.
Okay, cool. Yeah, and I'd love to shoot me an email. Let us know. I love and then Natalie will put on your show notes page, you know, kind of any updates you've got, because I'd love to hear a month or two from now.
Definitely.
From your employees and how that went. All right, cool. That's a great question, because Clean Nation, it's funny, you know, that we're on our 60th or 70th episode or something, and that's the first time I've been asked that question. And that's a key question, because everything we talk about on this show or I do in my private coaching is always going to require change. And if you can't get your people on board with that change, you can jam it down their throats and just arm wrestle them, but it's a lot of work. It's so much easier when not only are they into it, but they're contributing, right? They're telling you, hey, Travis, I've got an idea. Here's what I think. And again, just so you know, full disclosure, a lot of their ideas are going to be terrible, right? So that's just how it is. But you don't want to throw out the baby with the bathwater, and you know, just because 9 out of 10 or 8 out of 10 or whatever the case may be are not great ideas, don't miss the 1 out of 10 ideas that are fantastic. Like, I don't know about you guys, but my mom's always giving me advice and sending me coupons and just being a normal mom. And it's tough, because a lot of times, just because it's for my mom, I discount it. But a lot of times she'll have some really good advice. So I've got to constantly be saying, hold on, just because it's my mom giving me this advice doesn't mean there's not something good. And same with the employees, right? They'll come up with the kookiest, nuttiest ideas, and you just get used to that kind of auto no. Like, are you crazy? And I'm sure that drive-through concept we talked about earlier was probably crazy. Like, you want me to cut a hole in my building and have people drive? Like, are you out of your mind? So my last encouragement is, make sure you're not just giving them lip service with helping you out. Like, you know, and just because a lot of the ideas are terrible, don't leave room for the good ones. All right. Any other questions before we move on, my friend?
No, I think you nailed it, Mike.
Cool. Well, let's turn the tables, my friend, and let you give some of your big brain back to Genius Nation. We're going to hit the lightning round. Three quick questions. You're going to give three amazing answers. Question number one, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
Ooh, you know what? I think that the best piece of advice I've ever received, that it doesn't matter if your cup is half full or half empty. The only thing that really matters is that you're the one pouring the water. I think that it's really easy for us to kind of get caught up with what our friends are doing, what our neighbor's doing, what another business owner is doing, when we really don't have all the information. You know, we don't know how hard they've worked, what was inherited, how much school they went to, how many nights that they've had to, you know, really grind it out. And so I think that sometimes we just need to be content with where we're at and stay focused with where we're at. And if you're just doing what you need to be doing and you know that, I think that you're going to get to where you need to be.
Yeah, I'll give you a corollary of that. One of my favorite sayings is, the grass is always greener where you water it. So a lot of people are always, it's always better. That guy's got it better. This guy's got it better. But you're right. We don't know. We have no clue what they have and haven't gone through. So yeah, grass is always greener where you water it. Question two. What's the biggest mistake you've ever made in the cleaning business?
That's easy. Trying to make everybody happy. I spread myself way too thin at the very beginning. I think there's a fine line kind of between saying yes to everything and trying to make everybody happy. By saying yes to everything in the beginning, I was actually really able to figure out what I wanted to do and what we were and what we weren't. And so I think there's kind of a fine line there, and that kind of boils down to where people are at with their cleaning company. But no matter where you're at with your cleaning company, with any type of business in life generally, trying to make everybody happy is just going to drain you, and it's not realistic.
Yeah, well said. And I'll give you another corollary to that is that's another area for your core values to come in, because it's really hard opportunity by opportunity. There's a lot of like, well, I don't really want to do construction cleanup, but this one's really profitable. Or I don't do restaurants, but this one's really profitable. Or there's a reason. Or I don't want to fire. I need to fire this guy because he violated a core value, but I can't afford it or whatever. And I got to tell you, if you just let your core values dictate that, you're going to win every time. You're killing me with the background noise, Travis. I don't know if you just stepped into a hurricane or what, but it's not working.
Sorry.
That's okay, brother. Last question. What's one idea Clean Nation can put into practice that'll make their business and or their lives better?
I think take some time to figure out where you want to be with your cleaning company. And after you figure that out, I think that one of the most important parts is really establishing a really good foundation. I mean, obviously, you need a foundation before you can start building. The second thing on top of that is processes, processes, processes. I encourage people to go check out the E-Myth if they haven't read that yet. You talking about McDonald's kind of reminded me how just that turnkey type of idea and creating systems that will allow you to have those type of freedoms and buildable scaling processes in place. And then, like you said, the version 1.0, 1.0, you know, all those versions is refining and being able to go back and look at what's working, what's not working, and what needs to be touched up.
Words of wisdom from my new friend, Travis. Thank you so much for sharing, Travis. Thank you for joining us. I appreciate you. I know Cleaning Nation appreciates you. When you want to check out Travis's show notes page and discover everything you need to grow your cleaning company, go to growmycleaningcompany.com. Leave your questions, your comments, your rude remarks. I will see you there.
Congratulations. You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies, as well as industry experts, can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer, Natalie, at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.